Hey everyone, so nice to have connected with you all once again. It's been such a long time. It's always the case that whenever we take an unpredicted break, it's never predicted. We never think that we'll actually take a break from the podcast. Neither do we announce it. And it just seems to happen very naturally. And every time that happens naturally, it just seems that there is some kind of evolution, some kind of change that takes place, always for the betterment. And again, today we find ourselves in this place of change, especially me, maybe Julie, not so much, or maybe yes, indeed.
First of all, hi everyone. Hope you all are doing fine and welcome back to this podcast. So happy to be again sharing and empowering you all on this health journey. And as to Arjun's point, things have been changing on my end as well. But it's a bit of a slow process and we are taking one step at a time, I guess.
Especially with your, you started delving into the work of Cindy Dale more with to do with energy and combining that with the physiology and the biochemistry. And that's really interesting. And of course, she's just beginning with it. Not to mention that she's already taken up all my studies of functional medicine and I'm not really looking into any of that anymore.
But I'm happy, I'm lucky, I feel.
Yeah. So before I get into what I'm doing, and let's not make today's episode about that.
Yes.
We have a special guest, or should I say not guest, rather a team member, a part of the family, the Wellness and Beyond family. Her name is Simona. And
hi, everyone.
And it's so great to have you, Simona, with us. And everything happened so naturally. You know, I actually met Simona on TikTok and it was so, again, unpredictable. We never thought that we would actually be working together. Isn't that right, Simona?
Yeah, that's true. But the universe works in very special ways. Yeah, it was when I saw what you posted on TikTok, I was instantly attracted to that content and I just had to comment, and then you liked my content and we just started talking naturally, and in time we became friends, or like family, as you said before.
And on that note, I just wanted to point out that sometimes when you meet certain people, although you've not known them since a very long time, you seem to have this kind of connection, a very strong connection. The feeling that you've known someone for, you know, a long period of time, although that wasn't the fact. And that's exactly what I actually felt with Simona. And when I was actually looking up her content on TikTok, the energy that she was sending off with her content was speaking volumes more than the words that were being used. Although, of course, the content was fantastic and amazing. And so glad to have you with us, Simona. And tell us a little more about what do you do, and
So first I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I studied, and so that people can have like a little bit of background about myself. So I studied psychology and I also have a master's degree in clinical psychology and also in psychotherapy. It's been CBT. And the thing is, like, after I finished this university and I started working as a psychotherapist, I felt like this is not what I want to do. It was so cold, so rigid. I felt that I cannot actually connect to the people, and just by doing what I've been taught in school, it's not really going to impact or change people's lives in the way that I felt that I want to help. So after I did this, I took, let's say, a break from psychotherapy. And then I also studied universal literature. And by the time I started studying literature, because I wanted to know more about the human psyche, how people are thinking, how they feel emotions, how they fall in love. Like in books, we have so many examples and it teaches us so much. I also started doing pranayama. Pranayama is an energy technique. It's a Tibetan energy technique. It's a very old one. It's ancient, let's say. And you can only study it by learning from a master. So
that's something amazing, you know, when it's so special and so unique that only it passed down through wisdom through mouth. You know, it's not
teachers.
Yeah.
It's not like an online course.
Yeah. And it's not like an online course. It's not like in the books. It's literally being out there and doing it. So that's.
Yeah, actually, I for the last degree. So now I have the 8th degree. Already from the 5th one, you're considered like a master. And from the 6th one, I had to go to my master in a different country. And now if I want to advance more, I even have to go to Nepal, to the monastery, to the original master, which now is actually very old. Yeah. And the line of masters, it's like, it started so long ago. And this is very important when you do a spiritual activity, I think, like in my opinion. I mean, I'm sure there are different people that use different techniques. But for me, this is really important. Like you have the line of masters. Like for Jesus, it's also the same. Or if you believe in Shiva or no matter which religion you're from, it matters that there have been different masters on earth that actually spoke about the same thing, because then you have also this collective energy that's stored even in on earth or in the Akashic records that then can help you heal. So a lot of times if you want to heal someone or just give some advice, it doesn't really matter, you still also get this help from the other masters through you or from the Akashic wisdom.
But what got you into all this is what I'm actually thinking as you're speaking all of this. Like, how did you even reach there? What's the story?
Yeah, like since I was a kid, I was really interested in this, let's say, spiritual stuff. But when I was a kid, it was more like spooky things and mysteries, aliens and all these things. I read so many books when I was a kid. And then in high school, I studied a little bit about different kind of energies and things. But into pranayama, actually, I got because I was sick. I had a sickness. And a friend of mine said, I recommend you to do this. And then because of this friend, I started doing it. And it was...
like, the gates for you into that direction.
And when was this?
Pranayama, right?
When was this? This was 2015, I think. That's 3 years back. A few years back. Yeah, in the beginning, I didn't take it so serious. I must say, it took me quite some time until I started practicing it. In a very, let's say, strategic.
In a formal setting? In a formal setting? Like, you know, with your own clients?
Or with your teachers?
Yeah. Most of what I wanted to say was that I didn't actually... So you're supposed to do a lot of meditations when you practice this. You're supposed to... learn certain things when you go from one degree to the other. And I think in every kind of spiritual healing or this kind of direction, when we help people, we need time to take time for ourselves, for our meditation, for our grounding, and only then can we be there present for others. And in the beginning, I didn't do this that much. I must say that only after the 3rd degree, so if people want to do pranayama, I definitely recommend them that they stick to it until the 3rd degree. After the 3rd degree, I felt like a calling. And I started believing in the technique a lot more and realizing that I have a calling and I have this gift, because I cannot call it otherwise. It's definitely a gift that I could learn this technique from the masters that came here to Romania, and that I can share this with other people. So I'm very, very grateful for that.
Wow. And by the way, so speaking of the problem that got you started on this path,
yeah,
did you find that Pranayama also helped you resolve the problem or alleviate the problem?
Yeah, it helped me a lot. The technique that I find the strongest from Pranayama is regressions, where you can go into past lives and also into this life and dissolve certain blockages that keep you stuck. So for me, I still remember I was in a very bad relationship and I really couldn't get out of it. It was like, even though this person was hurting me constantly, I was still like, oh, I love him too much. I can't get out of it. And I addressed this problem a few times. I did some regressions and I did some energy work on it. And after that, like in 1 week, I was like, why am I in this relationship? I don't want to be in this anymore. And it was like instant. It instantly dissolved. And I couldn't believe it, because for 4 years I've been in that toxic relationship. So it's that powerful. It's really amazing how it can work.
Energy also along with regression. So how do you include energy in this kind of work? Maybe you can just give a gist of how actually does it work apart from the regression. And
yeah, so Pranayama is such a vast subject. So I'm trying to because we have so many techniques that we can use. We have the healing part that's for certain sicknesses that may appear in the body, but also for the mental, for the spiritual. There's also massage. I don't do that, but there is some that practice that, and it helps alleviate, like if you have blockages on the physical body, then it works even better or faster, let's say. We have these regressions, then when you can go into this life to dissolve certain traumas, patterns, or in different lives. You ask me how it works, right? So
energy part, like how do you include the energy part in the regression, or is it separate from that, or what's it like?
So let's say for everything that you have, there are different energies that exist. And then I would use a different energy for different purpose. So if I would do regressions, there are three levels of it. And every level has a different energy that I would use. So for the first regression level, which is the one I would start with if I would have a client. But yeah, for regressions, I can only do it face to face. The person needs to be in front of me. I cannot do it online. That's said about that. But yeah, so it would be very different how you would feel with the first degree regression or with the third degree regression. So the energy pattern or the energies in the universe are very complex. And although I think if you are connected to your higher self, then you could also heal yourself. Like if you know how to connect to your higher self, if you connect to Jesus in your heart, and if you are connected to divinity, then I think after you would do maybe some therapy or you would work with someone to clear at least some of the negative patterns that are in you, that would make that energy not let you be helped by it, then you could heal yourself. Because if you are open to that energy and if you have worked a little bit on yourself before, then you could also use it yourself. You don't need to know all this. But for me, Pranayama is like a tool. I have the tool. I know I can use this to do this. I can use a different thing to do a different thing. And I know it works. I know if I use that energy, I can help someone that feels depressed. Or if I use a different energy, I can help someone who has, let's say, a digestive problem.
I just have one question.
And also to your point, actually, I want to just mention with higher self, I think it's right up to the alley of Arjun's work, because with higher self, I think that's what your main goal is, to connect people to the higher self so that y'all can help heal your own self in a way. No one else can do that apart from your own self. And that's something you brought out, and it's an absolutely essential point for everybody to remember and try connect to your inner self as much as possible. Because that's what our goal over here with these podcast episodes are, right? At the end of the day, is to know who you are in the end.
And also, the question that struck me as you were speaking is, you know, during the sessions I do with clients, they have connected with their higher self, and the higher self has mostly helped them to alleviate or rid of some problem. Although I never marketed that my sessions are meant for that, but that generally happens naturally. However, there have been times when the higher self has said that this problem in the person's life, especially mostly it's illness on the physical level, is for a reason, or there is a contract behind it, or the person needs to learn some lesson through it, or the person hasn't yet learned the lesson through it. So what do you do in those cases?
That's a very good point you made there. Yeah, sometimes there are certain problems in the body that we have that cannot be removed, because depending on what you have done in a past life, or the, as you said, the contract that you came with, so what you have to achieve, it might not be solved. And I think this is the one problem, let's say, with energy work, because you cannot promise 100% the person, if I work with this energy, you will 100% be cured. It can happen. I can cure you, let's say, and then in 2 months you have the same problem. Also because the same mental patterns would be there. So what would be great is that you also work on the mental issues that appear, and so that you know exactly like why it started, and then treat them both. Then you have a higher chance, so that then the problem will not appear anymore. And I remembered something from the Bible. You know, when at some point Jesus doesn't want to treat someone, and then he was asking, why don't you heal me? And then Jesus said, because he said that God said that he needs people here on earth that even though they are suffering, they still believe in him. They still give grace to God, and they are still grateful for existing. So sometimes there are certain lessons that people need to learn. So we always need to address this problem and to be aware of it. But I think in most cases, if you learn the lesson, if you understand the pattern, the problem also dissolves.
And there's a nagging feeling or something, some information just came through. I don't know, nowadays I feel that there is something when I have a question, sometimes I just find the answer being there. So it just suddenly struck me as you are speaking of this, that generally also souls, not people, at the end of the day, because we are the soul and not the body, right? So souls decide that they will face a certain problem or disease, or they will be a part of something chaotic, maybe something like a war, because they need others to learn a lesson through them. For example, war is not something that is good and we should avoid it. Like, so the souls decide, powerful souls, very advanced souls, they decide to take the form of a sufferer in the war, so that the rest of the world can see how suffering is happening because of that, and they can stop doing it. So, I mean, it's all the soul's decision as well. Sometimes if the soul decides that it wants to suffer it because it needs maybe other people to learn a lesson through them, because it's an advanced soul and it's here to help humanity or the rest of the souls understand and evolve, then that's another thing as well in itself.
Yeah, I think the funny thing is, when you are a soul outside of Earth, this earthly experience seems like 5 minutes, you go there and you come back. The only difference is then when you really come to Earth, first of all, you forget everything. And then you feel the pain and suffering and everything like all the other humans. So I find it so interesting, especially that now there are so many souls on Earth that are especially here to help us in this time that is now and that will come, and the changes that will occur on Earth. And it was needed that so many volunteers come and help and guide us in this time.
That's actually happening, because in some in like I would say a good 50% of my sessions, most of the souls or the people I work with, they say that they're here for that specific reason, to help humanity evolve. And sometimes they get lost because of all the noise and the chaos. And of course, we decide not to remember anything. Otherwise, what's the whole point of taking birth if we remember everything? I mean, we are not going to enjoy the experience or really have the appropriate experience.
So I think during sessions also, y'all get few answers, but it's not very structured. It's in a way still a bit of a mystery, right, at times. And the person has to then decipher and maybe take an action or take a decision that's in alignment to that, what's come through. Because many a times messages can be a bit more broad-based, right?
I think whatever comes through is what's appropriate for the person.
Mm-hmm.
Never will such a information come through that the person can't handle. And I think generally even Simona, okay, you can also give your, what do you think about it? But what I have seen with my experience so far is that the higher self is always careful as to how it answers the person or its own smaller form in this human form. Because it doesn't want that the person should undergo any kind of stress or any kind of discomfort. This is what I have noticed.
So, yeah, when the people are in that state where they communicate with their higher selves, because since I've done a session with you, I know that some things that you are doing are similar to some of a part of the regression that we are doing in Pranayama. And as you said, there are guides there. There are some entities that already know everything, because it happened a lot of times that they get a message, they don't understand it, and then they call me like, ah, well, you know, actually, the name that came to me, it meant so much now, and now it makes so much sense. And it needed 1 week for something else to happen, and only then it made sense. So, because time isn't real, and they already know everything. They know what will happen. They know what we can handle. They're always there. And also what I've noticed, like, if you are connected and if you believe in whatever you believe, in Jesus, Buddha, Shiva, it really doesn't matter, because they're all just trying to help us. But if you believe and if you're there and if you're connected, then life is so much easier. You get little presents every day, so much help and joy, and people in your life that are just there to to make your life better even when you have problems or hardships to go through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well said. Exactly. And actually, something on that lines also, even I get a lot of messages in my dream. So what to do for my own self and if I'm going through a tough time, like some hope. And because I'm an herbalist, so I would obviously, the most easiest way to contact me or connect with me is through herb, because that really grabs my attention. And it happened once I got a flower essence for crab apple. And the other time I got a triune herb, like a three-part herb, which actually William Le Sassier, another very great herbalist, I think he also channeled a lot of information from the other world. Even he used to have this triune herbs in his visions. So I think something on the same lines, I got something for myself, for my respiratory infection. And I can't even fathom such the beautiful, I think, work that y'all are doing. And it's so inspiring. And I think more and more people should just get in touch with themselves.
Yeah. And
this reminded me of something interesting. Two things, actually. Once there was this mantra that was in my head that actually connected me to Krishna. And the other time, I actually... I think I dreamt it. I don't remember if I dreamt it or if it came to my mind about ashwagandha. I had no idea what it is. And I was like, okay, this came into my mind. Let me check what this thing is. And it was exactly what I needed in that moment of my life.
See? Wow, that's so amazing, right? I think our imagination, our guides and our helpful entities, they are always there around us. And many people ask me, like, how do you do that? Like, how do you get these small little visions or these messages? I'm like, I don't know. I just maybe keep asking within myself for help. If there's one, if there's God, if, you know, the God that I believe in, if he's there around me, help me, you know. And if I'm in a very stressful state, my higher self knows that automatically. And it will deliver answers very seamlessly. But I think it's a work for many people. But I think once you start meditating, you start going more deeper. And I think with all the tools that you all would be discussing on this platform would really help people to get more rooted into their own self.
And to begin with, there are just two things right now that our listeners or viewers can do. The very important thing is to just learn to be present in the present moment and stop living in the past or the future. Because, come on, like most of us, and I think it's pretty human, it's not about blaming yourself for it. We either live in the past about what has happened and, oh, I shouldn't have done that, oh, it should have been different, or we live in the future. What's going to happen? What will happen? What can I do? Maybe it might turn out that way. Oh, no, maybe it might turn out that way. Oh, maybe the worst case scenario.
Well, the worst case scenario, the fear.
Yeah, so I think to first receive messages, we first need to be present and grounded in the present moment, in the moment. We need to live in the moment. And then apart from that, we need to trust what comes through. Because even though messages might come through, some people just don't trust and don't follow it. And hence, those things just... in a way, that connection is not that strong. And in order to strengthen that connection, one really needs to trust and apply whatever information that comes through once we start learning to be in the present moment and really being open to receiving.
Yeah, very interesting what you said. I even made a video about fear a few days ago. Fear is not here to make your life miserable. Fear is to be felt, and if you want to let go of the fears that you have, you need to feel that fear. And the moment you feel it, the moment you let it be there, present in the now, and let it be as strong as possible present in your life, it will teach you something. And after, it doesn't even take that much, just a few minutes. In a few minutes, you already will realize that fear has no place in your life and you can just let it go because your fear isn't even rational. Most of the times it's not. If you just let it be there and feel it through the body and let it be in your life and look at it, see where it comes from, see what message it actually has, then it will just dissolve.
To actually face it and see how real is it, to really come to know that it's just an illusion, it's not real. And that's the way, right? Yeah, as you said, yeah.
It's like a shadow work that you would be doing. And although we want to be in light most of the time, and obviously when you're connected to your higher self is pure and just divine energy. But since we are living a human experience and we are living in a dual world, because here on Earth you have light and darkness, good and bad. So our experiences are dual, like we have during our life until now, and also from here on, we will always have like good and bad, well, not really good and bad, it's just that we experience it as good and bad. But it's important to see everything, like to feel everything that comes, feel the joy, feel the sadness, feel the fear, feel the anger. By feeling the anger, I'm not saying start screaming at other people. That's definitely not not the message that I wanna tell you here. But don't let it accumulate. Like, let it out. Find a method of letting out the anger. If it's screaming in the pillow or going and punching, again, I want to say the pillow. I can't find a different example right now. But the idea is that everything that's here,
I think the punching bag, you know, the boxing bag.
With anger, I think one very important, I think a small little pointer for people. It actually stems also from liver. So if your liver is very congested, it's working very hard, it's a hot organ. And it gets agitated. Because even if you have that second cup of coffee and you are triggered and you're very jittery, you get angry. And that's what happened with me. So whenever I have like a second cup of coffee in the evening, we shouldn't have that. But of course, being a human, sometimes I do that.
It's an inaccuracy and I should run away.
Yes. As guilty as charged, I would definitely tell my clients not to do that after 12 or 2 o'clock. But sometimes we just tend to, right? Because we just want to have like maybe a good time when we are outside with friends or something of that sort. And whenever I have that, I've noticed like I just get angry, irrational anger. And it only settles down once I just keep myself more hydrated and I have like a nice cup of chamomile tea to nullify that effect. So, so then again to your point, right? With different kinds of emotions and feelings, we need to let it out somehow.
But also created what you mean to say by
yes, of course.
Substances.
Yes, of course. I mean, you should know what's actually triggering you. So that's more on the physical level.
So isn't it like if a person is too like angry most of the time, agitated, does it mean that they haven't processed the anger within themselves?
I would just give an example for guys now, right? Like, guys are told not to express their emotions. So whenever they feel sad or whenever they have certain emotions, they're never allowed to talk about them. Like nowadays, people are starting to teach their kids about the importance of expressing their emotions and all that. But our past generations, they didn't have that. No, it was like, you're a boy, you're not allowed to cry, you're not allowed to show any weakness. So there was a lot of pressure put on them. And I think it's this inner built aggression that they never because they were never allowed to actually express their emotions. And the more you neglect an emotion and you just you don't express it, it just accumulates. It's like a boiling pot, and so first it's just the water, and then it starts boiling until, like, let's say the lid would come off. No, so it's the same. It's like you have these emotions, and you put more and more and more, and then it builds up, and then you explode. So I think this is a very good example of why people get angry and why it's so important that we take time for ourselves and work on ourselves and understand that help is there and we could be so much happier. And also, maybe if you don't think about yourself, you can think about others, no? Like how your wife, your kids would beneficiate from having a husband or boyfriend that's expressing his emotions and that can be present in a loving, caring way. And he wouldn't be triggered that much or driven by his emotions. And this is also valid for women. I was just giving this as an example. For women, it's a lot more complex. And that's why I didn't even want to get into that subject. But knowing yourself, knowing why things, why you explode, why things got bottled up. No, like, it's like a trigger comes and the way you will react will be with what you have suppressed. What is inside you with that you react. If you have love, peace and joy, let's say, flower power, no, then you would be, oh, okay, whatever. You wouldn't start screaming because someone took your parking place. You would be like, okay, dude, I'll take the next one.
Absolutely. And on that note also, these emotions, when they're not processed, get also passed down generation to generation. So it's more, some emotions are just ancestral in nature that people tend to carry in their energy bodies. And with that, I think it's an amazing topic to talk about that perhaps we can continue in the next episode and then see where it takes us. What do you think?
This is also interesting for me because I get to learn from two brilliantly, I think, educated teachers. And I think it will be a learning experience for all of y'all listening to this podcast. And I really hope that today's podcast has got y'all something to think about. And we all are into this together.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, once again, so glad to have Simona on the team as a family now. And most likely, of course, we'll be clubbing our services together, working together and having some offering. But that apart, you could also throw in some herbs in the next episode, of course, because herbs and flower senses also have a role to play. When it's emotions and all. So I think it'll be a very interesting conversation that'll be coming up in the next episode. Maybe just could be something super different that you haven't really come across before.
Let's hope. And we are just super grateful for being here with you and being part of the team.
Same here.
Thank you
so much to all our viewers and listeners, and we'll see y'all on the next episode. Ciao.
Bye.